I'm not gonna bring the sermon for Job. I'm sorry, but I'm not. if you're newer here, first of all, so glad you're here. It's not by mistake that you're here. The Lord's doing something very significant. Specifically, in this past month or two, we've been seeing some incredible breakthrough. We've been in a series of Job for 20 weeks now, but I haven't preached Job in about 5 weeks. I can't help but with all the things being said and words being spoken, throughout my day, I've been writing some notes down of what the Lord has just been giving me. And I'm not really sure how this is all going to tie together, but I'm just going to kind of let it flow, if that's okay. So Lord, just speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a passage in Genesis. It's in the beginning of your Bible. And then I'm going to read a passage from John chapter 20. And I'm going to see what the Lord does. And then I might end up in Ecclesiastes and then Isaiah. Just kind of dancing around the book. Dancing on the foundation. All right. Courtesy laughs in the back. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10, and if you want to join me in John 20, that's where I'm going to go to. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. How many of you know the man and his wife are named what? Adam and Eve. So the when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Now, for those of you that may not know, for those of you that do know, the reason that they're hiding is because they had just eaten from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and they just realized that they were naked and they were shameful. And in that nakedness, they ran and hid when they knew the Lord was coming. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." He was totally exposed. He was totally vulnerable before the Lord. And when the Lord showed up in his nakedness and vulnerability and his shame, his first response was to run and hide. Now, I'm going to read in John 20, Jesus has resurrected. He has shown himself to some, but he has not yet shown himself to Peter. And in John chapter 20, I'm sorry, John chapter 21, it says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." In other words, he's had enough. Jesus has been crucified. He ain't seen him. He's going back to his old habits. He's going back to his old ways. He's going back to the very place that Jesus first called him out of, going back fishing. "I'm going fishing. We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they all caught nothing all night. If you know the story, this is the exact same environment that the Lord pulled Peter out of. He saw that Peter was not good at fishing, and he's like, "Hey, why don't you try to cast net on the other side?" And now Peter's like, "We failed. Jesus is crucified. We're going to go back to the thing that we can't do very well." In verse 4, it says, "At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, 'Fellows, have you caught any fish?'" As if Jesus didn't know. "No," they replied. And then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat. You'll get some." So they did. They couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. Some translations will say that for he was naked, for he was without clothing. he jumped in the water and he headed to the shore. Let's talk. Many of you may be wondering, why the heck was Peter fishing naked? Well, usually in that tradition, they would get in the boat and they would only have on garments appropriate for fishing. And they would later put on garments that were appropriate to be in public. But in this time, most likely, what most agree on is that he didn't have a change of clothes. He was just done, went fishing. And a lot of the translators would agree that he was naked. Now, some would say he wasn't really naked. Some would say he had undergarments on. Either way, he was in this very exposed place. He was very shameful, just like Adam. Adam was shamed. He was ashamed. He was naked. And when the Lord showed up, Adam hid. But when Peter was naked in the boat, when he recognized it was the Lord that showed up, it says he jumped in the water and swam toward him. Restoration in this day and age is you no longer have to hide in your shame. There's an open invitation to come right to the Lord exactly as you are. And we say that, but right now, even going through our heads, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know my struggle. You don't know the confusion. You don't know. The only way you're going to exit out of your confusion and out of your shame and out of your struggle and out of your I don't know what to do is to jump in the water. Amen. And start going after the Lord. Not once you get better and not once you get approved and not once you have a clean sin record. No, it's jump in now and come to the Lord. Now, here's the thing. For too long in the church, we have been going through our idea of what it means to grow in the Lord and come to the Lord. And we've seen the same church model over and over and over and over and over done in the same way with different look, done in the same way with different focuses. We come in the house of the Lord, we come to a building together with the people of God, and we have worship, and we give, and we get in the Word, we hear a sermon. And that, none of that's bad, that we're all called to do that. We're called to fellowship together. We're called to dive into the Word. We're called to pray together. We're called to sing songs of joy and gladness. We're all called to do that. But what we have been using for maturing in the Lord spiritually, if you will, what we've been doing to get stronger in our walk with God, if we can just be honest, it's working in some degree, but it's not working in others. Because many of us come here every week and you're still struggling and you don't know how to break out of it. Or we have churches all across the city and all across the nation and all across the world, but the church itself is still arguing about, can Jesus heal? And I believe what the Lord is trying to do in this moment, when I say in this moment, and however long it's going at Relentless, is he is trying to develop a company of people who just want to come exposed before the Lord without any agenda and any constraint and no frames and just, Lord, here we are jumping all in. We're just jumping in, Lord. And I was reading a passage in Ecclesiastes today, you know, because it's a book everyone thinks of all the time. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, it says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Let me read that again. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. Someone say, sharpen the blade. A dull axe requires more physical force to accomplish the same result as a sharp one. If you take an axe that's not sharp, you'll eventually cut the log. But what could have cut it in 5 to 10 strikes might take 50 or 60. And as I was reading that scripture, what the Lord was showing me is that's a picture of the church today. We're seeing healings, we're seeing breakthrough, we're seeing salvation, we're seeing all these things, but it's a dull axe that we just keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding, 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 oh, poof, revival. And then the revival fizzles out. And then we take what happened in revival, and what do? We start pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding, and then poof, revival. To sharpen the axe represents preparing and planning and the knowledge and skill to make the task easier, but wisdom will show you how to do the work efficiently and effectively. The word teaches us that iron sharpens iron. Do y'all agree with that? Well, this is the phrase that the Lord gave me. Without friction, there's no sharpening. Without friction, there's no sharpening. And what the Lord is telling us in this moment, there's going to be a lot of friction between what we're doing and where we're going and your expectations. There's going to be a lot of friction between what's being released at Relentless on Saturdays and the reason people come to church on a weekend. There's going to be friction between relationships. There's going to be offense. There's going to be, I've got somewhere to be. There's going to be friction, but the Lord says we've got to have the friction if we're going to sharpen one another. We've got to have the friction if we're going to sharpen one another. The church embraces sharpening by the acts of what we deem to be sharpening tools. But we are simply efforting in immaturity because we're rejecting the wisdom of divine revelation and we only receive from the lack of friction in our current theology. Let me read that again because that was a lot. The church embraces sharpening by the acts of what we deem to be sharpening tools. So let me pause right there. What are our current sharpening tools? Even things we did tonight where there's nothing wrong that happened tonight. I want to make sure I say this. There's nothing wrong with these tools. I'm just going to bring out some sharpening tools. We have people coming to the altar, right? We have people coming to salvation. We have baptisms. We have events in the church. We have all these things that are good sharpening tools. But we are continually efforting in them, hoping for a bigger breakthrough, hoping for a bigger experience, hoping for a greater manifestation. But we're efforting in immaturity because as we use these sharpening tools, if we don't allow divine revelation to interrupt, then we're simply leaning in the absence of friction in our current theology and not willing to embrace a friction that will bring us into something that's more complete. And here's what I mean by that. Let me take it down a few notches. There is no such thing as multiple truths in the Word of God. There is no such thing as you get to have your interpretation and I get to have my interpretation. There is, throw that hand up again. There is one truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the invitation for Relentless Church. Will you dare to effort in sharpening where you will have friction that will result in the truest theology the world has ever seen? In a wisdom that people have yet to tap into. That we're willing to die of what you believe to be right and what I believe to be right and only get immersed in the river of this is where the Lord wants us swimming toward. Part of our nakedness is, Lord, I have believed this, but maybe I'm wrong. And I'm not ashamed anymore to admit that I've been wrong in this belief that I've grown up with. And that is the friction that will cause some to jump in and some to paddle away. I don't know why I'm in this tonight. There is a wisdom, a divine wisdom available so that there is effective effort in what we do and how we pursue. But we have to embrace this friction. As I was hearing from the Lord today, this is what the Lord's been doing. We've been opening up this book of Job, and there was friction when people heard God did not do that thing to Job. Because everyone's been taught the same thing with Job. God took it away. Or God told Satan that he could do it. God didn't give Satan permission to go after Job. God gave Satan permission to leave his courts with authority that he already had. The same authority that Satan has right now, which is the power of suggestion. Suggesting an idea. And I'm not going to get into all the Job story, but that's what happened. The enemy started whispering to the Chaldeans, the Sabians, to the winds, and all of a sudden Job lost everything through enemies coming in and taking over. Storms and hurricanes. And we have messed up righteousness and wrath because for some reason when storms come, we automatically think it's the wrath of God on a people. But my scripture actually says he does not appoint his sons and daughters to wrath, but he appoints wrath to the unrighteous and the ungodly. And I'm going to invite some friction tonight. I am tired of the church blaming God for stuff that he don't do. You know where the friction is in that? It's called responsibility. The friction in that is that we don't want to take responsibility for if the Lord is coming back for a spotless bride, we need to stop waiting for him to return and start embracing a spotless identity. Amen. What is your spotless identity? You are righteous. And that's friction in the church. Well, we can't be righteous. God's only righteous. Then what the heck do you think he accomplished when he died on the cross and defeated the death, hell, and the grave? He purchased our ability to become clean and the righteousness of who he is. Now, here's where some more friction comes. If you understand you're righteous, then you understand you are righteous because of him, not yourself, not your earning. And because of that righteous standing, you have the ability to operate in an atmosphere called heaven that is not the same atmosphere as the earth. You have the ability as a child of God, a son or daughter of God, to not just pray if it's the Lord's will, but actually administer the Lord's will. You have the ability to bless your home and not have to call a pastor or a priest or an apostle or a prophet or whatever the heck you want to call it to come bless it. You have the ability to do that. You have the authority to break the strongholds off your life because you're surrendering to the fact that he's made you righteous with the grace to walk in a heavenly realm, in the atmosphere of earth. Now, here's what I wrote down. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 tells us that his thoughts and ways are higher than ours. Y'all heard that, right? But here's the part in that scripture that was highlighted. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours, as the heavens are higher than the earth. So if we're going to walk in the ways and the thoughts of the Lord, we have to embrace that there's going to be a friction or a tension or a a momentary disagreement from your natural and from the Lord's natural. And when the Lord releases his natural from the heavens, there is an atmospheric change. And the friction of that atmospheric change is heaven wanting to come into the earth. Like a collision. And in that collision, all the natural laws of what cancer abides by has to submit to the atmospheric change of heaven that just came out of your mouth. Is this over or are y'all getting this? Okay. How many of you, is it over? Because I can dumb it down, so I need honesty. Is it over? Okay. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. He wants to pour out things out of the heavenlies. What is the friction? Your doubt. And I'm not one of those preachers that say that you got to have faith to be healed. Tell that to Lazarus. He was dead. But what I am saying, where we doubt is what the Lord can do through us. Because we're quick to want to pray for someone, but you doubt that it'll actually happen. So you say, you put a clause in your prayer of, if it's the Lord's will. Healing is always the Lord's will. Why? Because when you die and the Lord restores everything, you get a new flesh. Do you agree that you're healed in heaven? So what is the will of the Lord for everyone? To be healed. So why wait for heaven to bring heaven's atmosphere into earth? So that friction in getting heaven into earth, if you will, a people who get antsy because the service has gone longer than an hour or an hour and a half, or if you're at Relentless, two and a half hours. But the friction that we have to kind of relent to at Relentless is, Lord, if you want us here all night seeking you, there's an abundant yes and no more friction to the, but what about dinner? But we have a long drive home. Right? And that's a very real thing for most of us. People live in Pooler, people live in Savannah, people live in Effingham, people live in Midway, people live in Hinesville, all over. But what is the priority? To get your church in, or to come together to experience something significant because we actually want to see change? I don't know about you, but I see a day where the church, and when I say the church, not just Relentless, because I can tell you, and my wife can vouch for me, I talk to at least two or three pastors a week who call and say, hey, what is this? How is this? I need your help. Talk to me. There is something going on where the church is coming together, and I see a day where the church is the first ones called on when there's a shooting at the Oglethorpe Mall. I see a day when the church is the first one called on before the EMS, because people actually believe in the authority that God has given a people that much. And for the record, I'm not speaking against the police. I'm not speaking against the EMS. What I'm saying is people's natural is an atmosphere of earth. And I'm saying let's shine so bright that the natural becomes, I want that atmosphere of heaven in my home. I want that atmosphere of heaven in this situation. But to get there, we have to deal with some friction of, Lord, here I am. And I'm ready. And I want you. And I want to come seek you, Lord. And I want to sing however long I need to sing. And I want to be as loud as it needs to be and quiet as it needs to be. And I want an expositional teaching, and I want a Holy Spirit-led teaching. I heard a preacher say sometime this week, I loved it. And this is going to be friction for some of you. But he said, Please stop calling the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. And believe it or not, it's one of the most Holy Ghost preachers you could ever think of. And he said, the reason being is because when I think of God, I think of a person, not a Casper. Now, some of you don't like that because y'all say, don't worry, I'm not beating you up to say Holy Ghost. But what I am saying is that we have to move our mindset from a helper to a person who is helper, a person who is healer. He is a person of the Godhead, not just a spirit. And we love to pray to Jesus, and we love to get mercy from the Father, but when was the last time you said, Spirit, speak through me? We can't just have relationship with a part of who he is. He is grace. He is mercy. He is righteousness. He is judge. There's some more friction. Some of you are here, but we did a whole series one time on the book of Judges. And if you weren't here, here's a series. They sought the Lord. They were good. They were bad. They got judged. They were redeemed. Every chapter. That's pretty much it. Now, why do you need to know that? Because when we think of judgment, we think of punishment for doing something wrong. But in the scriptures, a judge was someone that came to redeem the issue. And we're scared of judgment when we should actually embrace it and invite it. Lord, I want you to judge me today because I want you to show me what I have to give up. I want you to show me where I've got it wrong. That's part of the friction. Lord, I want you to show me where I've fallen short. This is the naked and exposed, naked and not afraid. This is the Lord, here I am. And I don't want to do church as is week to week. I want to be a part of the people who are coming that don't know what to expect on a Saturday. I want to be a part of the people that said, hey, we're going to cancel Saturday, we're going to meet Tuesday, and no one says, but I have to work on Wednesday. They get here. But you know what the friction is? We're not there yet. And that has to be a face-to-face meeting with you and the Lord saying, Lord, I need you to help me put things in perspective and put things in order and put things as priority, because where the Lord is taking us is a people who are not defined by a day of the week, but a people who are defined as a people who do life together and seek the Lord together. And that's it. Where when people say, I'm going to prophesy, I'm going to speak it. When people say, what church do you go to? When do they meet? You get to say, I'm not sure yet this week. And I know we're laughing at that, but I am dead serious. What if we were a church so on fire that if I said we're not meeting tonight, you had friction? Am I speaking to anyone? The church has become a program to save the lost. When the church should be the program that comes together that says, forget the program. I want to be sharpened. I want the friction. I want to mature. I don't want to sit in my beliefs. I want his beliefs. I want his truth. I want his ways. I want what the Lord wants for me. And when that happens, we're going to see breakthrough that the scripture says the disciples that didn't even get to experience. And let me just go on that rant for a second. The Lord did not give us a Bible to read it as if it was a fairy tale about 12. The point of seeing the 12 disciples, which or the 12 apostles, and then there was a 13th and arguably a 14th and 15th, and I would argue there's more and more and more and more, but just for the sake of religion, the reason he showed us 12 or 13 apostles was not to read about them and go, oh, Paul. No, it was to show them that the way they access the realm of heaven is the way that we can access the realm of heaven. It was an example of how, not a history book to idolize. This is a book to show us how, not to just read about what was. If it's only a book about how, if it was only a book about history, then you can't call it a living word. Friction. The Lord wants to release a wisdom among a people. And I'm telling you that if you're here under the sound of my voice, there's an opportunity for you to do it. But it can't be this whole, am I called, am I not called? It's got to be, I'm jumping in. Church, we meet at 6 o'clock on Saturdays, but prayer opens up at 5:15. You know what jumping in looks like? We put prayer above the, hey, how you doing, I missed you this week. Because the, hey, how you doing, I've missed you this week should flow from the, we're here for the same reason. And just to make sure, because I know there's friction in that, there's nothing wrong with coming in and saying, hey, how you doing this week? But it's, why are you here? And I know I've been saying it a lot lately, but this is just, it's been in my spirit a lot. It's been in my prayer time. Shira and I have talked about this many times, that people are choosing churches the same way they choose frats and sororities. Where can I find community? Where can I find relationship? Let me just make sure you understand. In a true church, you're going to find the community. So don't look for the community. Look for where is the friction so that I can grow. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's right here. And let me just say, community doesn't look like four and five sometimes. Sometimes community looks like you got one. You know what the community should be in this house? We're all believers, like-minded. We're all believers coming to search the Lord and seek the Lord. And when we sing a song saying, Lord, show me your face, that builds the community. A community of people who are here to seek the face of God. And not even Moses was able to look at his face. But we are. And not once we get righteous, but that we are righteous because of nothing what we did. That we can just jump in the water, naked and shameless. Here I am, Lord. Here's my flaws. Here's my misses. Iron sharpens iron, but a dull axe will get the job done eventually. But I don't want to be a get the job done eventually people. Is anybody got anything they want to add on? People, you got anything? Lee, Carol, Josh, Reba. What's that? Emmanuel. You want to speak into that? Come on. I invited you. This is the friction, man.
You know, God inhabits the praises of his people, right? And, you know, we could feel the presence of the Lord during worship, like tangibly. I could. I'm sure everybody could. But when we come together, it's Emmanuel, it's Jesus, it's his ministry in our midst that we're after. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are Christ. You are Emmanuel. You the kingdom of God is within you. And we have to allow Christ to flow out of us. That river from the throne of heaven is within you. The rivers of living water come out of you. We are the body of Christ. And as we minister, as we share from the Spirit of God, you know, you become Christ to me and I become Christ to you. And we are the body. You know, we are the answer for what they need out there. We are the answer for each other. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glory of God in you. And that's what we're after. All the religious stuff, it doesn't amount to anything. It won't get you anywhere. It'll just prove to you you cannot do it. That's all it does. But the Spirit of the living God within you can give you holiness, can give you righteousness, can give you his manifest presence. And that's what we're after.
So Lord, that is what we're after tonight, Lord. We just want you. So Lord, we just embrace the friction of getting from one level of glory to the next to see you more and for us to understand who we are. We want to be wrapped up in your identity of what you saw us as before we were ever created. Let me just say this, church. Stop holding Adam's sin higher than Jesus' finished work. Stop holding Adam's sin higher than Jesus' finished work. The work is finished, and he says, Sabbath is no longer a day. Sabbath is a state of being. It is rest. I was having a conversation with a pastor a couple weeks ago about that. He said, I don't understand. How can you rest and work at the same time? Well, it's very simple. No matter how hard I work, I'm not doing it to earn. I'm not doing it to please the Lord. Or thinking I have to earn his pleasing. When I do these things, I'm just rested and he loves me. So I want to do for him to bless him, not to get something from him, not to earn something from him. It's a state of being. That's the answer, everyone. Like when they say, well, you worship on Saturday nights, are y'all Seventh-day Adventists? Like, I don't... Why don't you worship on Sundays? Because Sabbath is no longer a day. Sabbath is a state of being. I am in a rested state. Yeah. I have peace in the Lord. Jesus has done everything that is needed to be done. He invites you tonight to jump in. Just jump in. That is the altar call tonight, to just jump in. Yes. Wherever you are, I see so many new faces tonight. I'm just going to throw the gauntlet. You jump in. I see some older faces tonight. Jump in. I see some every week faces tonight. Would you jump in? Y'all jumped. Jump in more. Like, let's go deeper together. Can we just stand? I want to sing that Show Me Your Face chorus one more time. Just go ahead and go ahead. Come on, church.
Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Show me your face, Lord. Your power and grace. I can make it to the end if I can just see your face.
The Lord just highlighted there, you still hold back because of something that happened to you as an infant or a toddler. And you replay it all the time. And I'm not sure if you have the memory of it or you've been told of it, but it is something that you hold in front of your mind all the time. And the Lord says tonight, that is the yoke that must break for you to move forward. You have yoked yourself to an experience that was never meant to define you. If that's you, can you just pop your hand up really quick? You got something? Maybe the infancy is not physically, but infancy in your spiritual walk. You feel like you can't move forward because I haven't done here and I don't get it there. The Lord is telling you, stop using that as an excuse. Let Him be the life jacket for you to jump in. You hear that? You're scared to jump in because you don't know if the water's safe. He is your salvation. He is your life preserver. So if that's you, if it's a spiritual infancy and you've been holding back because you feel like you're not worthy, you feel like you haven't got it yet, if that's you, can you slip your hand up really quick? You ain't got to keep it up. Just pop it up so I can see it. And I'm not moving until I see it because I feel this strong. More that they've been holding back. This is your opportunity to jump in, to just put your hand up as shameless. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. Well, Lord, give them grace and show them that they can jump in at any moment. You have something? No. You have things? Hold your hands up. Lord, can y'all just stretch out your hands? Can we get a couple leaders and family that know Jessica well to just surround her? Jacob, just come. Y'all start praying out loud over her. Lord, I just thank you so much for her vulnerability to just say, I am being totally exposed before this church family and the presence of God. And Lord, whatever that thing is that happened, Jessica, can I ask you a question? Is it a physical or is it a spiritual? Lord, show her the lie that she believes that she is immature, and show her the truth that she is far from infancy. That she knows you, and knowing you is maturity.
Yes.
Maturity is not earning. Maturity is not even understanding it all. Maturity is you know you are His. And I just speak to the lies that have been trying to convince her otherwise right now in the name of Jesus. And that right now, that doubt drops off. That improper clothing is shed. And that tonight she embraces her robes of righteousness that you have purchased for her to put on. Yahweh, Rapha, Adonai. I just cry out, Abba. There's an intimacy that the Lord wants of you. And you are worthy to give it to Him. And I pray that you give this man, her husband, the wisdom and the insight and the knowledge to speak into her what she needs, even when she doesn't know she needs it.
Yes.
I speak that not only will they become stronger in this, but that her gift as a worship leader will increase beyond her wildest dreams.
Yes.
And to anything that's been spoken that causes fear, we silence and put a muzzle on you in Jesus' name. No more fear. You believe that, Jessica? Can you just shout that out, no more fear? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, how about on three we all do it together? But you've got, I'm talking, belt it. No more fear. Can we do that? One, two, three.
No more fear!
In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.